On this last day of July, we celebrate one of the most important saints of the Renaissance, of the period that took place, beginning especially with the beginning of the 1500s, the 16th century. And of course, the saint is St. Ignatius de Loyola. De Loyola was the title of the family. And his life was very convoluted, like many people's lives are very convoluted. Now, not everybody had, like me, from the baptismal fountain to communion to the seminary. A lot of people have a lot of ways to go before they get there. Some of you in that sense too, including the process of conversion. He, though always a Catholic, nevertheless had other things in mind. And when a young man, though he was not the oldest of his siblings, he had an older brother who inherited the title of Loyola, he went into service in the army. And it was in this that God showed his will. When there was a battle between the King of France and the king in Spain, in the city of Navarra of Pamplona, whence many of my ancestors come. And that's why one of my 10 last names is Navarro, which means from Navarra. It has nothing to do with the one over there by Gulf Breeze and so forth. It is a province, a beautiful province, in the mountains of eastern Spain. There was a battle, and unfortunately, or fortunately, for Ignatius, Ignacio, in Spanish, a cannonball hit him in the leg. Now you can imagine that that was not a very easy thing. It would have been a very, very painful thing, shattering his bones. And, of course, he suffered excruciating pain, but they tried to mend him. They did not do a very good job, so they decided to send him home to the castle in Loyola, which wasn't too far from there. So his brother received him with open arms and his wife, and they took care of him. Now, they sent for the doctors, and lo and behold, nothing surprising. The bones in his leg had not been set right. So the only way to fix him was that it was decided that they would have to break them again. So imagine that pain. So St. Ignatius' leg, no kind of drugs or anything to take away the pain like we have today. They broke his bones and set them right and wound them up, and then he went back to bed. And he spent a long time in bed. He was bored to tears. So in that castle, and you know, most people in those ages were not particularly well read, so most castles, they may have had the Bible, a book of the lives of the saints, and a couple of romance novels. Now, he devoured the romance novels because that's where his heart was at the time. He had not yet been converted. And then he asked his sister-in-law, "Is there nothing else to read in this house?" So she brought him the lives of the saints and the Bible. So he reluctantly accepted them and devoured them. And so it was there that he, first of all, came into contact with his namesake, St. Ignatius of Antioch, who had suffered horrible martyrdom for the sake of Christ and of his church. And St. Ignatius, the new St. Ignatius, said, "Why can't I do that?" And that's the same thing you should be saying to yourselves. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be heroic in the faith and suffering for Jesus in the faith? And so he decided at that point on to dedicate his life to our Lord. Soon enough, all things passed. His convalescence came to an end, and he was able to get out of bed. Now, for the rest of his life, and he died in 1556, so he had about 60 years, about 45 years, that he was limping along. He never regained the full use of his leg. He was limping along as he went about. He first of all did what many people do. He went to the magnificent sanctuary and monastery of Our Lady of Montserrat in the northern part of Spain, not far from Barcelona. And there he spent days and nights in prayer before Our Lady. And then he consecrated himself. Before he left his armor, and particularly important, his sword, which is still there as a gift to the Blessed Mother. And then he proceeded to follow the calling that Christ was giving it to him. And so by this time he made friends, and he got together 9 other young men, and he was the oldest. He was close to 40. He was the old man in the group. And of course, you can look up for yourselves who they were. St. Francis Xavier was one of them, but there were others. There were 9 of them that followed him, and they went to the great University of Paris in France, where they enlisted in the School of Philosophy and Theology, and then they formed there the Company of Jesus, nowadays known as the Society of Jesus. And then they decided, first of all, to go to the Holy Land, and then to go to the Pope and offer their services to him and the Church completely. Well, they made it to Italy, but because of the Muslims and the wars, they were not able to go to the Holy Land. They never did. So they went to the Pope, and the Holy Father received them and blessed them and blessed their new society that they had undertaken, the Company of Jesus. They went to Venice, because there were many great relics in Venice also, still are, and there they consecrated themselves together. And then they were ordained to the priesthood. And then they went back to Rome, where St. Ignatius was to say his first solemn Mass in the crypt of the Basilica of Our Lady, Our Lady of the Snows, whose feast is in a couple of days, August the 2nd. Santa Maria Maggiore, St. Mary Major, where still we can see the gifts that they gave to the Blessed Mother. In the meantime, the Society of Jesus, or the Company of Jesus, began to grow and grow and grow. And since they could not fight the Muslims, they decided that they were going to fight the heretics and the Lutherans. And so they began to fight and preach against heresy. And thus St. Ignatius became a great hero of the faith. And until he died, by that time, the Society of Jesus, or the Company of Jesus, has spread all over Europe, eventually coming to the New World. And, of course, they became friends with all the saints who were at that time alive, including St. John of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, and others besides. Until, in Rome, St. Ignatius died in 1556. It's interesting that the readings of today mention the chains of Peter, because tomorrow, the main feast is the feast of the Holy Maccabees, the 7 Maccabee brothers who died rather than break the covenant with God. But also it is the feast of St. Peter in chains. And there, in the Basilica of St. Eudoxia and the daughter of St. Eudoxia, the chains are put, and we can, one, go and see them and pray before them. But what most people don't know, they also have the chains of St. Paul that held him bound in the Mamertine priest's prison in Rome. And what is interesting is, when they put the two sets of chains near each other, they collided and joined into one. So it looks like one chain, but they are actually the chains of St. Peter and the chains of St. Paul. And in the middle, a gold link where our Lord has linked him. So we need to pray to St. Peter and St. Paul, to the Holy Maccabees, and to the great St. Ignatius de Loyola to strengthen us in our faith, to fight heresy and evil in our day, in the church of today, and everything else that's going on. Because it is a very wonderful thing that has happened. In addition, today, His Holiness, the Supreme Pontiff, has decided to name St. John Henry Cardinal Newman to be a doctor of the church. And as far as I know, he is the first and only English doctor of the church. So we rejoice that one who speaks the same language as we do, of course, I'm Spanish, but English is my second language. So you have to teach me, you know. I don't speak the English too well. But one of us is now a doctor of the church, to be honored with all the other doctors of the church, including Saint John of the Cross and Saint Teresa of Avila. May these and all the saints intercede for us and grant us to be holy and to be wise with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.